It has been the one song of those who thirst after absolute power, that the interest of the state requires that its affairs should be conducted in secret. But the more such arguments disguise themselves under the mask of public welfare, the more oppressive is the slavery to which they will lead. Better that right counsels be known to enemies than that the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They who can treat secretly of the affairs of a nation have it absolutely under their authority, and as they plot against the enemy in time of war, so do they against the citizens in time of peace.
One, two.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to this July 15th, 2006 episode of From the Bunker here on RevereRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Dire Wolf, and tonight I have a very special guest on. I have Freeman from the Freeman Perspective, and we'll have him on for about an hour, and after that we'll cover some of the very important news that has been going down this week. So I'm going to take a short little pause, and we'll get Freeman going for you, and after that, we'll do some news, folks, so stay tuned.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to The Bunker, and tonight we have a very special guest. We have an internationally known award-winning TV producer, Freeman, from thefreemanperspective.com is his website, and he has many wonderful videos out there. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with his work. How are you doing tonight, Freeman?
I'm doing great, Thomas. How about you?
I'm doing awesome, brother. Thank you very much again for coming on to talk and tell us some about chemtrails and your experiences with them. What is it that, now, I'm sure most of us are already aware of Project Cloverleaf, I believe it was, but what is it that they are trying to accomplish with these chemtrails, and what exactly are they?
Well, it's a depressing subject, and it's funny because, you know, here we introduce ourselves and, hey, I'm doing great, but honestly, you know, you walk out of your door and you're not doing so great anymore. The planet I step out onto out my front door is pretty completely different from 90% of the population when they step out their door. You know, they don't. The real big difference, first of all, just is to know that they're not out for our benefit. To know that our leaders, our government, are not out for our benefit. There are those that go out day to day and they believe that their government is doing everything they can to help them and to promote life and to bring things to progress. And then there are those of us that don't believe that at all.
Yeah, definitely.
That go out our door feeling as if we're stepping into a war zone.
Yeah, I can concur with that because I, you know, firsthand in Portland, they're disgusting here, but I find in when I go to Idaho to visit, there's little to none. So is it just a population thing? I mean, obviously.
Well, as a traveling man, I go to a lot of different scenarios. I travel often, and I end up at Grateful Dead shows or the Rainbow Gathering or even the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. And in all of this traveling around, I get to see a bigger picture of how it's going and who's being targeted more heavily. Now, everyone's being targeted, but there are certain groups that they're really targeting heavily, and I think that they give a great clue as to what is going on and why the chemtrails. Because the Grateful Dead, the Rainbow Family, and, say, the Gem and Mineral Show, these all are people that are nomadic, and these are people that make their money on the road. And so when we start to look into what's actually in chemtrails, one of the main ingredients that I try to put in everyone's head to remember is the barium. Because barium is well known for being used as a tracking agent. It's a heavy metal that lodges in your system, and the effects we'll get to, but the thing that it can be used for is tracking you on radar. So now when everyone thinks, and if they don't realize that we're being set up for this great calamity, this great closing of the Iron Fist, then they don't realize that, you know, you show up on radar. That means if you think you're going to run with a group of people to the woods and try and hide, you're going to be glowing like a beacon, and people, you know, black helicopters will be deployed. I'll tell you, my friend just called me today, and he has put a chem buster in his backyard.
I saw that on your
now,
video.
Keeping track of the black helicopter that's consistently flying over him.
Yeah, I saw those chem busters on your video that you produced, which I found was just absolutely amazing and phenomenal information on chemtrails. And if anyone wants to grab that, they can go to thefreemanperspective.com. Or is it just Freeman Perspective?
It's thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com, or just do a web search for The Freeman Perspective.
Yeah, you can just Google that, and you have that. It's just a fantastic video on chemtrails, and if you know, there's so much information that's disinformation out there, you really put out to, you know, what is going on. And I thought what your buddy put in his yard, I was checking, that was the first I'd ever seen or heard of that before, and I thought that was absolutely phenomenal.
It is an amazing thing, and, you know, of course we don't know anything about Orgone or Reiki and technology, really, we're just following the blueprints. But you can see radiation coming out of the end of the poles and the chemtrails absolutely dissipate. And it definitely alerted some black helicopter types to my friend. He's keeping a log right now, and he keeps writing the senator on the weather modification bill that's coming up.
And what's up with that bill? What's up with the weather modification bill?
Let me see if I have the note on that. But barium, you know, it causes a lot of health problems. And, you know, in the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, for some reason, the chemtrails, they really, really laid them thick. And it was interesting because all of us there were pretty much, well, everyone around me was from outside the country. You know, it was a bunch of people from all over that come to that show. It's the world's largest. And I would predict to them exactly what the weather was going to do by knowing the results of chemtrails. I mean, I've been watching them for over 10 years now, so I know that when they come in and they dissipate and then the sun's going to be super radiant and then it pulls all that heat down and it becomes really cold and rainy. And we actually got the only day of rain in 6 months in Tucson, Arizona, on the day of the Gem and Mineral Show.
Wow.
Same thing with the Rainbow Gathering. I was at the Rainbow Gathering, and there were no chemtrails because we're out in the middle of a national forest until June 28th, because the official start date of the gathering is July 1st. And on June 28th, the chemtrails started laying in the grid patterns. And then the results are always the same. People get tired, they get lethargic, their joints start to hurt, their lower back aches, they get upper respiratory infection and flu-like symptoms. Now, when chemtrails began, they, I guess, didn't quite have it right yet, you know, doing tests and the stuff, as you were saying, was falling to people's lawns, and they were finding this spiderweb-type silvery substance, which is, you know, the definition of barium, and they would pick it up, and it would dissipate and melt in their hands, and they would get flu-like symptoms. Next thing you know, lo and behold, the news is announcing a flu-like symptom epidemic. The officials on the newspaper and the news were saying, well, there is no virus, but all the symptoms are flu-like. So they called it a flu-like symptom epidemic.
Well, it's just like any of the medications you take off anymore. Well, you know, all the advertisements they have on the television, you know. Well, you know, you can sleep, but, you know, you might have, like, anal squirts and flu-like symptoms and maybe even death, you know. But you can sleep now, or you can breathe out of your nose properly. So, yeah, definitely insane. Now, this barium, it's a heavy metal, obviously. Now, any heavy metal is not right for the human body. I mean, to detoxify, to get rid of heavy metals is amazingly hard.
You'll find it listed in the hazardous, at the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry.
Nice, so it's a nice biohazard.
You know, I found really interesting. I was looking in the, and it's a major byproduct of oil production. Imagine that, barium. Barium is used most by oil companies to lube their drills.
Well, it's just like fluoride. It's a byproduct of aluminum.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, who started that up? Alcoa and IG Farben. And if you don't know who IG Farben is, well, they, you know, were one of the heavy duties in the Nazi war machine. And Alcoa, of course, right by their side, which is an American aluminum company. But, you know, and that is also a poison, but yet we have cities here in Oregon, Beaverton, Oregon, which is Metro Portland, that city, bunch of dumbasses in that town, obviously, but they pay $400,000 a year, the taxpayers do, to fluoridate their water.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're paying $400,000 to take a toxic waste material that costs the company that produces it money to get rid of it, they're paying them to actually put it in their water. And makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, people just, you know, they don't believe that their government would do anything to harm them. This is, you know, this is the first. When I can show people chemtrails, I can show them the results, and they were buying my DVD like mad. It was way for me to open to the bigger picture of what's really going on. You know, the chemtrails were simply just like, you know, a highlight to lead them down the path a little bit. So they've really helped me to inform people because there they are, you know.
Well, I think it's maybe because I'm too misinformed or not informed enough on them, but I'm always looked at as a lunatic when I mention them. I mean, I remember here about 4 or 5 years ago, I got off work at the herbarium, and I was walking down the street to this local pub, and there was a beautiful full moon out, and, you know, and I looked up to thank it for providing me with this wonderful light that it was giving me, and there they were, all over, dripping down. They looked like this cobweb dripping down out of the sky. And I ran into the pub, and they all think I'm, well, they used to think I was absolutely insane, and I started saying, hey, come out here and look at this. You know, look at what they're doing to us right now. Tell me. I mean, the airport's closed damn near. There's not all these flights coming in. And there's just all these trails going on, and the full moon was lighting it up for us. And one patron went down the road to her house and got a video camera, thank God, and taped them. But it was just absolutely phenomenally sick. Whenever I speak of it, people think I'm crazy until it's happening to them there. And you have to literally drag them and pull their head up into the sky. And I find that quite difficult sometimes.
Well, this is not the stuff people want to know. You know, and a lot of things that I have to say, I don't generally tell mothers with children, because my perspective of the future is fairly grim, and, you know, chemtrails are a big part of that, and the major outcome of them is yet to come.
Yeah, I was speaking to this mother this morning online, and she lives in Virginia, really nice girl, but, you know, all kinds of things started happening this morning as far as in our world, and I told her I hooked her up with Revere Radio and told her to listen to Jack Blood. And I said if she really wanted to know what was going on, Jack's got a great show going on right now, and you should check it out. And
Jack's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, Jack's a good guy. You better not say that too loud. You'll have Lisa Giuliani on you for saying that, though. But, okay, enough of the sting stuff. But yes, I turned her on to it, and I didn't think Jack was being spooky, but maybe I'm too cold onto it now. But she listened to it for about 2 minutes, and she said, I got to turn that off. That scares the hell out of me. I can't hear those kind of things. And
yeah. Honestly, you got to be somewhat schizophrenic. You got to be able to look at the picture and yet still go about your life.
Oh, of course. And especially if you have children, you would want to be more aware, I would think, of what's going on. I mean, to help them and protect them.
What can I do about it attitude, you know?
Yeah.
Stick my head in the sand. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because what can I do?
Well, you can breathe real heavy when they're spraying real hard for you. That's.
I am honestly ordering a respirator. With the thing tonight, you know, there again, I go knowingly. I go well-informed under these chemtrails. When I go to Rainbow or Gem and Mineral or any of these events, I know. I know what I'm going to suffer. And I wonder often why I go. And why, you know, but of course I go and I inform people. But also, these are my people. These are the vagabonds, the gypsies, those are my people.
The free thinkers of the world.
What's that?
The free thinkers of the world.
Yeah, the freemen.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're everywhere. Well, they're all around us.
Now that we know, yeah, we are everywhere. That's a true story. We are absolutely everywhere. Now we, you know, obviously you've informed us that there's barium in here to, you know, it could be used as a track trace material.
Yeah.
What other purposes would they have for these? I mean, that can't be the only purpose because this has to be costing billions of dollars, and they're doing it worldwide.
Yes, they are. And everything has multi-purpose, right? There's, you know, the side effects are just bonuses to them, like because. Now we got to add in ionospheric heaters, or HARP technology, and that's where the last piece of the puzzle lie, because they work in conjunction. You can use HARP in conjunction with the aluminum. Now, aluminum's another ingredient in there, which, of course, makes you a great antenna, and, of course, HARP is a extremely low frequency radio waves being shot into the ionosphere that come radiating back down to Earth, and so the more aluminum in your system, the better, right? So HARP can be used. One of the in the research on HARP, I found that it can stimulate the same effects as any chemical reaction. We didn't mention that. Okay, aluminum. The three ingredients that I'm truly concerned with are the aluminum, the barium, and then there are pathogens. And the pathogens are the third piece of the puzzle. And what we're seeing is that with HARP has the ability to generate the same effects as any chemical reaction through electromagnetic frequencies. And this can actually activate these viruses.
Wow.
So they could turn on a plague. So it's my firm belief that they're creating this Armageddon apocalyptic scenario, and, you know, of course, the end result being a chip mind-controlled population. But, you know, they don't care how many of us really survive, right?
Well, just enough to slave for them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and these are the type of people that don't miss their T's and their I's, you know, they don't miss those. So if they were to lay a plague on us, which, you know, seems fairly apparent following things like the bird flu hoax. I mean, I've had John Rappaport on my show and Ken Welch and talked with him, and, you know, the bird flu was a major hoax. It's a cover story for this influenza and for the results of the chemtrail program.
Well, it's kind of like Mad Cow also, I mean, for that matter.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, Mad Cow is a flu virus for cows. I mean, if you give them, I mean, you let them go for like a week after they have it, they're fine. A week to 2 weeks later. It's a flu virus that lasts for about a week, at the very most 2 weeks, and then they're fine.
Hmm.
So, and that was another, just a farce, but it's about as good as SARS, you know. My grandmother
was... Barium causes brain swelling as well.
Brain? Nice. Very nice. Yeah, my grandma was convinced I had the bird flu here a couple months ago because I had a bit of a cough and I wasn't feeling that well. And
oh, yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
she watches way too much Fox.
When you can predict somebody's health, that really gets their attention.
Yeah. I hear
you. Because I would tell everyone exactly how they were going to feel tomorrow. And they, you know, they start to listen after that. Because this stuff is deadly. And it's, you know, the clincher there is once you can turn on a plague, you know, everyone's going to go running to FEMA and get their chip.
Well, get their shot, which will have a chip in it, so, because they'll need to chip you to make sure you got your shot.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that's the way that'll work. That's the scenario I thought of, anyway.
You did see that portion on the film. I've got the Fox report on the Vera chip.
Oh, yeah. Did you see when that first came out, though? It was right after 9/11, that family they had on that went and got chipped, that Florida family. Just a freak show looking family. And they and all their children went and got chipped to help beat the terrorists, and I was just appalled. It was quite disgusting. And a commentator, Paul Harvey, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was Paul Harvey. Yeah, he was all about the chip. And some Andy Rooney, I think is his name. He another commentator that was all about the chip. And because it's going to help beat the terrorists, because if you get chipped, that way we can go to baseball games and not have to worry about terrorists hurting us because, you know, we'll know who's who from the chip.
I predicted 9/11 to the day, and that kind of affected a few people around me as well.
Well, you and Alex Jones both, right? I'm just joking.
Yeah, he said, I asked him about that, and he said, well, not to the day.
Well, no, and he still claims he did, but I've watched that broadcast that he did on his Austin Public Access, and I didn't hear it. So, and that's the one he told me, and it's like, okay, I still don't hear it, but that's all good. So, how long before
we had a little discussion about who that owl is, too, I gotta say.
I'm sorry? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
In the Bohemian Grove.
Oh, yeah.
That's not Molech, that's all. A little discussion about that.
I actually know a Grove member, and, he's not a member. His father is a member, and he has been invited to the Grove and been there several times. and he likes it there. In fact, I've seen a picture with him and Moloch and his mom and his dad. And this guy's in his mid-late 40s. And, he's...
But it's just not Moloch. That's my point.
Well, no, because Moloch was a bull, right?
Moloch is a bull, right.
That's what I thought. So I didn't see how that was
Moloch. The owl is the goddess.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and that's why our capital is District of Columbia.
That's right,
maiden goddess.
That is also another wonderful video out there, people. How much is your video collection? It's like $20, right? And you get like
$20.
And it's like six videos? Five videos?
It's 3 hours long. It has six episodes. It's corporate logos, Columbia, chemtrails, harp, Nephilim, and rainbow.
Yeah, all very, very interesting materials too, people. So that's, you know, for $20,
you can't
beat it.
Picture in, you know, if you want to look at what these guys are, if you're looking at this Hitler-esque type stuff that we're looking at with the chemtrails, then you got to understand who these Hitler-esque type people are and what their goals are, because they're way above and beyond what everybody thinks.
Now, speaking
and
of
these guys are ritualistic occultic bastards, you know.
Oh, very much so. Speaking of Nazi-like behavior, Israel bombing Lebanon, and then of course Bush backing them up because they got a soldier kidnapped.
Yeah.
What? I mean, doesn't that sound so much like Poland? I mean, it
yeah,
does. It sounds just like Poland. So
really hope, you know, I laid the same scenario out on my website months ago, and I really hope that, you know, my foretelling won't come true, but. For me, this is the beginning of World War III, and the whole scenario is that, well, we back Israel, Russia backs Iran, and then China comes to America. I've been saying for years that the reason the Masonic temples are being sold all over America is not due to lack of participation, but because they're liquidating their assets. They're getting their money in the banks, because I firmly believe they're going to lay this country flat.
I find that
all of the signs are there.
I have to totally agree with you on that. I just got back from Georgia a few weeks ago, and I saw several fairly large lodges there for sale, and they
were all gone. I mean,
it was like wow. So, but you know,
if you look at the scenario where they are making the American, I mean. Okay, the whole George Bush being railroaded into office through Jeb Bush, that was a conspiracy within a conspiracy. That was the one that any brother and mother should be able to figure out, because it was obvious, but it wasn't the truth. You were supposed to believe that Jeb Bush let W in, but W was going to be president no matter what.
Because of the W, right?
It makes the American public mad. We're supposed to hate our government right now. We're supposed to be mad at our country. And we're being set up psychologically to lose the war because they're taking away our reasons to fight.
Yeah, well,
we have no faith in our own country, in our own government, and we're divided, and we're being set up to be the losers.
I think also that fighting is what they want, too. I mean, that's exactly what they want us to do, is to fight. And what do you think if everybody just laid down and said, no, we're not fighting?
Well, you know, that's my whole scenario, the whole war game thing with tic-tac-toe, you know, the only way to win is not play. And I did unplug. I haven't had a job in 7 years. You know, I haven't filled out a job application. I have nothing to do with that world, really. I walked away from it to see what would happen. I wanted to know what would happen, because I've been learning this path of synchronicity and the power of divine coincidence, and I now have absolute faith in it, and this is what's led me down my path. All I had to do was open the way.
I hear that. Now, you said earlier that you travel a lot and you followed Grateful Dead and what have you, and before we came on air, and I wouldn't let you finish your story because I wanted to be surprised on it. Now, we both know that Mickey Hart and Bobby Weir are both Bohemian Grove members. I'm still not going to say anything bad about Jerry. But you said something about Phil Lesh, which I've always considered Phil the man. And I wouldn't let you finish your story. I want you to share it with all of us, and I want to be just as mind-boggled. Can you tell us your experience you had with Phil Lesh?
It's the day I call the day Phil Lesh took me to a Masonic temple and tried to kill me. I titled that day. It was such a strange scenario. Phil Lesh was having a fest or a concert, Phil and friends, at an arena. And he changed the arena and put the concert at the Masonic temple. And so I was like, oh, I got to go to this one. You know, I take any opportunity I can to get into those temples and check them out. So I went up, and I'm at the ticket booth, and I asked the lady there, well, you know, do the Freemasons still worship here? And she says, oh, yeah. But the Freemasons are a religious organization, which they claim not to be, and they can't get government grants. Well, they're somewhere around 29 Masonic symbols on a dollar bill. And so we at the community center can get government grants, so we bought the temple, and now we rent it out to the Masons. And I'm like, okay. So I know the Masons are getting a little bit of a cut in this whole rock and roll deal with Phil. Now, I've always had my suspicions with Phil because I look at occult symbolism, and of course the Grateful Dead fall smack dab into that spectrum, along with, you know, Led Zeppelin and Marilyn Manson, you know. But Phil Lesh didn't know how to play the bass when he joined the Grateful Dead. Well, they weren't the Grateful Dead at that time. He joined the band, and they became the Warlocks. And of course, that's male magicians. And so then he learns to play the bass, and I personally felt he was a bit of a plant. I don't know from where. But so then he moves this concert from the arena to the Masonic Temple, where they're still worshiping and gaining the money. And we go into the building, and it's 110 degrees inside. There's no air conditioning, and there's overcapacity by hundreds. And they had moved an arena show into a Masonic temple. So the place is just wall-to-wall hippie. And I'm walking through, and I feel this little brush of air on my cheek, and I look around, and I find this open window. And honestly, I travel so much that I have no idea what state I was in. Somewhere over in the north, the east, or the east side somewhere. And it was hot. And so I'm sitting there, and I find the window, and I just stay there because I can barely breathe, and I'm just letting the air come. And I go over to the Masons that are selling water out of the cooler, and it's $3, and it's one of the small bottles. It's not even a regular size bottle of water. And I'm like, all right, yeah. And so I'm sitting there with my water, and in front of me, deadheads are just dropping. You know, they're just knocking them out. And I'm having to go over and grab them, bring them over to the window, and pour my $3 bottle of water over their head and revive them and hold them there. Well, I got tired of paying the $3, so I went into the bathroom to refill my bottle, and it only came out with scalding hot water. There was nothing but scalding hot water, not even just me. So I went to the women's, and I asked them to check, and sure enough, theirs only came out scalding hot water. I'm like, wow, there's some sort of conspiracy going here, you know. I'm not that paranoid, but it seemed...
That's kind of weird just to have hot water, though, and no cold.
So I had to continue to buy the $3 bottles to continue to save lives. And at one point, a hand grabbed my hand outside the window, and so I just pulled without ever looking. And it was a good friend of mine that had let me stay at his place when I was off wherever. I'm really bad with space-time. And I pulled him right into the show. It was just total reaction. Well, he went running off, and so they came and threatened to shut the windows, and I was just like, oh, no, you're not. And I won the battle with them. There was no way I was going to allow them to shut that window. But pretty much we just had to survive through the concert.
That's amazing, I mean, that they only had hot water there, too. I mean, they had to actually turn off the cold water to do that.
Is that weird?
I mean, that is insane. I've never... Wow. That is crazy. You know, after the Grateful Dead disband, I stopped following, but they had their little reunion tour in, 2002?
Oh, my God. 2003. Were you at the Grateful Dead family reunion?
And I went
and
saw that.
Alpha and Omega Royal Mounted Security Force?
Yeah, I went to the show in Portland. A friend of mine had bought me a ticket. I didn't really want to go, but I went because, you know, it's a free ticket, so I went, have a good weekend with my friends. And of course, we're in the middle of war, and we'd already invaded, basically, Afghanistan and on our way to Iraq. And I found it quite funny knowing, and I just had found out 2 days prior that Bobby Weir was Bohemian Grove. And,
right.
You know, which blew me away. So I started telling everybody at the concert, you know, that, hey, this cat belongs to a truly evil group of people, and they are the elites. Well, he had the audacity to speak to the crowd, Bob Weir, that is, and tell us that we know what's going on and la, 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 and, you know, we just need to hang tight and hang together because we know it's the elites that are doing this. You know, so he sit there and going to blame them, and yet he is them. And I found that just so hypocritical. I don't know. I think we need to just set him underneath one of those chemtrail jets and let it spray on the tarmac for him, and that could be some payback. I don't know. Maybe we can find him on radar when we need to. Who knows? But have you got?
We could find a doctor willing to do the test required. I mean, barium is very difficult to identify in the body. It's very expensive and costly test. But it, you know, I could easily bring 20 people that I know would have heavy effects from these chemtrails, and then we could grab 20 corporate schmucks from from, you know, the corporate buildings where they breathe conditioned air all day, and I guarantee the effects will be substantially noticeable.
What is your knowledge on, like, electromedicine and things like that? Do you have any knowledge base on that, or have you used anything like that?
Like Rife technology?
Uh-huh.
I haven't. Well, no, I haven't.
Yeah,
I've
read quite a bit on it. I've never met anyone that's actually used it. Do you think that could help someone that has been exposed to a lot of chemtrails? I mean, if it is what they say it does, I mean...
Well, because we're dealing with heavy metals, see, many people think that they're dealing with a virus. Many people, when they get these symptoms, they're taking things for viruses. But what we're actually dealing with is heavy metal poisoning. And many of the healers and herbalists need to realize that, you know, we need to combat heavy metals. Because they, you know, the symptoms are so viral seeming, but they're not. And I started taking selenium.
Uh-huh.
To see if that would make any effects. I haven't noticed anything really yet, but I'm constantly under attack. You know, I'm one of those people that are in every scenario that they chemtrail.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually ended up in the hospital.
Really?
For this, and I was. It was in 1996, in the Missouri Rainbow Gathering, they seemed to have over-bariumed us. And everyone got the cough. It was just, everyone had a hack. And of course, nobody, they all blamed it on pine smoke. And they always try to blame it on something.
Blame it on the brown acid, right?
Blame to them. But we got it so heavy. And honestly, I didn't know the symptoms of barium at the time. I ended up in the hospital thinking I was having a heart attack. But when I got through the hospital, which they were rather rude, but I ended up with the exact symptoms of barium poisoning. And this is heart fluctuation, anxiety, numbness, and all of the symptoms that we equate with heart attacks, and even heart attacks are one of the symptoms, but they told me I was having an anxiety attack.
Too many fatty veggie burritos,
no,
or something?
No reason in my life at that time to have any sort of anxiety. And so I stopped another doctor and asked him to look over my chart and please explain to me why I was in the emergency room, because I hate doctors. The only reason I was there because I thought I was dying. And he looked at my chart and he's like, well, you know, I don't see anything here except for that you're very low on potassium. Lo and behold, you go look in the barium and you'll find that it attacks the potassium in your body and is one of the key symptoms that you can identify barium poisoning with.
Wow.
And not only that, all the other symptoms, but the military actually take potassium. You see, the military know. They use this stuff to track, insurgents.
Well, yeah, because they sprayed the hell out of Iraq.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it makes you up on radar, you know. Perfect. So, it's even used in The Running Man. They use it to track the runners in the field in The Running Man.
Really? I need to watch that again.
Yeah, that's in, I put a little clip of that in the film, too.
Right on. I'll have to check that out again. I got the director's
cut.
Yeah,
I'll send you a copy. I didn't know you didn't have the full-on Freeman experience there. So.
No, don't have the full-on Freeman yet, brother, but yeah, I hope to.
I'll send it your way. I'll get your address when we're done.
Awesome. That would be great. Yeah, it's definitely some interesting materials. Like I said, your work on Goddess Columbia was just a wonderful eye-opener for me. I didn't realize Persephone was who sits on top of our Capitol building, and that's one of my major points now when I talk to anyone, if I feel they need to be opened in some way, that's one, or even if they don't, that's a major point of just saying, hey, look who controls this. Why would the so-called God-fearing people have the Queen of the Underworld for their statue on top of there? You know, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. That makes...
Yes. I like to point out that there are, you know, up to 30 occultic symbols in the street plans of Washington, D.C., and this has become more popularly known now. You know, there's pentagrams leading to the White House and pentagrams leading to Congress and owls sitting on pyramids.
Exactly. And what's the middle of a pentagram? A pentagon, you know? I mean, it's like...
This takes much effort. You know, this was not something that somebody just idly did. Hey, let's make a pentagram. These guys are serious ritual occultists. They put much effort into this occultism. That's, you know, and that's... If you're not looking at the occult perspective of this thing, then you're missing a good portion of the picture. Yeah, I tell you, there's shock and awe. This is one of my favorite examples of the occult significance. When we stormed Baghdad, they called it the Shock and Awe Campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that same time, Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon and announcing that he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated.
Oh, wow.
Did you catch that? He even has himself in the stone masonry as Nebuchadnezzar. He had paintings done and statues done as him as Nebuchadnezzar. He claimed, even the USA Today headline read, and I tell you, when I walk on my door, I'm on a different planet, because these are the headlines I see. It said, CIA cannot disprove Saddam's claims to be a Nebuchadnezzar. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow.
Well, so now, this shock and awe comes in. Now, the interesting thing is, we're dealing with Hebrew mysticism, the Kabbalah, right? Or Kabbalah. And in Kabbalism, shock and awe is a Hebrew word which means divine presence, or the divine feminine, and once again back to the goddess. And Shekinah, or Shekinah, it comes down, it's known as the divine whirlwind. The Shekinah comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar, Saddam Hussein, using the mother of all bombs, right? But we're dealing with the military, so they use anachronism. So it's the Moab.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, the mother of all bombs.
Yeah, exactly. It's the largest bomb, non-nuclear arsenal that we have.
Right. And if you go to Kings, or even, I believe it's Isaiah or Jeremiah, I've got to get lost on that.
Gideon's didn't leave one in my...
The divine whirlwind comes down, strikes Nebuchadnezzar using the Moabites. Right? This is all planned out ritual. It was no coincidence that they used the name Shekinah. It's no coincidence that Saddam is Nebuchadnezzar. And it's no coincidence that they used the Moab. So, this is ritual.
So is it a sacrifice that they're performing? A ritual sacrifice that they're performing? Or is it something that's on the base of, I don't know, well, like you're saying, you know, just something that needs to be done? Or was it just to rape their museums and whatever else, what other goodies they had
relics,
there?
Relics, yes. You know, relics are very important in magic.
So, I mean,
and
that's...
all of that information.
So, do you believe that it was for the relics or for a sacrifice?
All of
all of the above?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one bit, because that's what I've always considered, that it was a sacrifice. But then again, the ancient relics they have there, I mean, my God. I mean, look at all the talismans they have for that are
old school. What you find is that they've been after the treasure of Solomon. And that whole story goes off planet. The story of Solomon and Solomon's temple, and then you get led to the Templars, and then you get led to Hitler, and then finally to America. So it's this Solomon's treasure, it seems, that the Templars are still trying to attain the mass of power, just like Hitler digging for the spear of destiny. They've always been into this.
Wow, that's definitely crazy. Now with Washington, D.C., back to them, another thing with that, is that like an altar for these people, basically? And is it a sacrificial altar, or is it an altar for their ideas? I mean,
I asked Michael Tesserian that same question when he was on my show, and he believes, and I agree, that these are pentacles. You know, there's a reason there's a giant owl building with a pentagon or a pyramid in its head in the downtown Austin. He believes, and I find it conceivable that this whole scenario opened up with the whole John Dee and Edward Kelly with their Enochian magic opening these portals and then creating universities to understand what was received from these portal openings, and then the cities being laid out in pentacles to feed the proper energy of violence and hate to these macrobes, as Michael Tesserian has started to call them, larger than life beings. So he believes, and it seems, you know, when you're looking at this picture, it's hard, you know, because you're trying to figure out their motives. And we're looking at it so third dimensionally, it's hard for us and to understand what the motives of a magician would be, why they would put so much effort into it.
Yeah, it's not like they didn't put any into it. Like you said, it's massive effort into this.
Yes.
So, I mean,
it was their main goal. I mean, the corporate logos alone just, you know, you can see it right there. It's all incorporated in their rituals, all of the signs and symbols that we see.
Well, it's like watch a CNN, I mean, if you can handle it and choke through, but I always find it funny to watch the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. We play a drinking game with it. Every time they show Persephone, we have to have a shot of Jaeger. Oh, you just get slammed every time that show comes on, so we don't want to play that game too often, usually about once every other month, because, I mean, you'll have 50 shots of Jaeger in an hour, and that's dangerous. So we actually turn away from the TV if we've had too much, because it's a hard one to play. But seriously, if you want a good drinking game, turn on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, and every time you see the Capitol building or Persephone, which, you know, is on top of, but you got to see Persephone, you have to have a shot. So you'll find yourself turning away from the TV within 15 minutes. Actually, there's most times we can't even pour them fast enough. But I watched Larry King live on Bush's birthday the other day. I watched it for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, about all I could handle of it. I just had to see what kind of choke he was saying. And he was overlooking the Jefferson Memorial. He was in front of it, and the pathway to the Jefferson Memorial was in the shape of an omega. And I found that really interesting, and he was on the end of the omega, of course, but I didn't know what the meaning meant on it, but there had to have been meaning there for it. I mean, I find anything these guys do, there is meaning for it. So all of it has.
You reflected me back to the Alpha and Omega Royal Mounted Security Force.
Yeah.
They were out of Texas here, and they were at the Grateful Dead family reunion and the fish on a roo and all of that. And they're out of Texas, but they're flown to all these events.
Really?
And, yeah.
That's crazy. I haven't ran into those cats yet.
They ride these huge horses, and they don't do anything. They wear red and black police-type uniforms, and on their blankets it says the Alpha Omega Royal Mounted Security Force. And,
well, who's the royalty they're performing for?
And I asked her, well, you know, what's the royalty doing in a democracy? And she slapped my hand away and rode off.
Well, even a plutocracy that it is, because I can't refer to this country as a democracy by any means.
No.
Yeah, the plutocracy that is, we still don't have royalty, but you never did get a straight answer from her.
No, she just slapped me and rode away.
Wow, do they have a website?
Yeah. Just search up the Alpha Omega Royal Mountain Security Force.
Wow. Well, I'll have to email them that and see if I can't get a response from them. And say,
yeah.
Well, do you work for the Queen, or what's up?
Yeah.
That's...
I don't know, but, you know, the same colors we see again, red and black, Egypt, those are the colors of Upper Egypt. And
yeah, in fact, you had a link on your website, I can't remember what it was called either, it was to some CIA site. And
yeah, the World Factbook.
Oh, yeah, very, very interesting. Again, people, it's thefreemanperspective.com. And there's some great links on there and some very, very good reading.
I really wanted to make it a resource. It's basically my links page. That's where I go to do all my research. And
I found that really nice. That was the one place I could go and check out all the world's flags right there in front of my face and compare them. And there was like, I think there was 6 different colors, maybe 7 used in all the world's flags. I mean, no one had a purple flag. What's up with that? That's my favorite color. And no one has purple. But, oh well.
Purple, when it came out, was worth more than gold.
That was
a Phoenician thing.
Yeah, I'm a purple and a green fan, which green is plenty in the flags. Plenty of green in flags. Green, yellows, blacks, whites, reds, and, yeah. That's mostly what I found. But all of them, of course, have pentagrams on them. I would say 90% have pentagrams on them.
Yeah.
They all have a common quality. So, you know, how do we make enemies out of people that we have so much in common with? And one thing you pointed out on your site that I was not aware of, in fact, I had to go Google the Washington, D.C. flag, but the similarities between the Washington, D.C. flag and the Iraqi flag.
Yeah.
I found that almost comical.
Identical.
I found it comical almost. It was disgusting. I was like, wow, these people are so in bed with each other. It's disgusting. And we're
all
being set up.
That's the thing. It's worldwide.
Yep.
It's worldwide.
And we're all being
set up. Nobody knows who designed the American flag. I mean, Manly T. Hall does.
Well, Betsy Ross sewed it, didn't she?
Well, you think these guys would let a woman make the flag? Never. Not this fraternal order.
Oh, you can make our national flag, but you can't vote for 200 more years.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a strange old hermit known only as the Professor. We still don't know what his name is, but he became a friend of Benjamin Franklin's, and he was the one that designed the American flag.
Now, wasn't Ben Franklin's nickname Moses?
I didn't hear that.
I believe it was, or his used name in masonry was Moses.
You know what Bush's name is in Skull and Bones? Temporary.
W's is?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
His father is Magog.
Yeah, I know. I realized that. I didn't know senior or junior's name. And wasn't Carrie like Longfellow or Longface?
Long Devil,
that was it.
Yeah. Some people think it's an anagram for long-lived. Because he's one of the purer bloodlines. And, you know, that's another big thing with these guys. Who's your daddy? I mean, their bloodline obsession is scary. Really, that could even also have something to do with the chemtrails, because these guys are obsessed with eugenics. I mean, you know, Hitler has not gone away. We live in the Fourth Reich.
Well,
you know,
we started...
All the Nazis were brought here.
Well, this country started the eugenics program.
Founded by Nazis, you know?
Well, this country started the eugenics program. In fact, Hitler was so keen on our eugenics program, he wanted to copy it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know who Hitler's best or who his favorite admirer was, and of course, his favorite admirer also was Hitler's favorite admirer, and that was Henry Ford. They both had pictures of each other in their bedrooms.
Huh.
And Henry Ford also, if you were in the day, I remember my grandpa, God rest his soul, was telling me back in the day when you go bought a new Model A or Model T, you would get Nazi propaganda in the glove compartment.
And the Bush family funded Auschwitz.
Of course.
It goes on and on. I mean, I watch all these people driving around in their Volkswagens, and they have no idea what that symbol means. You know, of course nobody does, but...
Well, why don't you tell our listeners what it means? I already do, but and tell them and also explain why George loves his W.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, if you, as I went through all the corporate logos, I eventually came to Phillips 66. And then, of course, I noticed Highway 66. And like, you know, so I'm just deciphering this through Kabbalism. And so I look up 66, and it's the number of the fallen angels, the number of the dark side of the tree, Quillipoth, or the number of the great work, which is symbolized by the pyramid on a dollar bill. So if you understand numerology, you realize that these two things must be equated, because you can't, you know, and so the great work is dealing with the fallen angels or the dark side of the tree. So 66 is the number, so you could read Phillips' Fallen Angels or Highway of the Fallen Angels, Highway of the Dark Side. Well, this is Hebrew mysticism, and in Hebrew, 6 equals V. So if you put 6, 6 together, you get VV together, and in America, we call that W.
And we're the only English-speaking nation that calls it a W. In Europe, it is a double V.
Yes. I mean, I really think they were trying to confuse us with that. And so W equates to 66. So if you go a little step further and you look at the Volkswagen symbol, you will see that it's actually two V's interlaced. And that's the initial 66, but the crossing of the two V's making a third V, of course, equals 666.
That's very special.
There is an Antichrist in this great work.
Yeah, well, I notice a lot of our free-thinking buddies love the VWs, though. I saw more broke down following the dead than I did anything else. But
No, man. That seemed like VW would love the Hebrew symbols, you know, like bumper sticker or something.
Yeah, that's definitely out.
Oh, you know, here's one last little code, and George Lucas, who I was, you know, I've had a hard time deciphering the downside to Star Wars or what evil it could bring, but in the final episode, Revenge of the Sith, of course, they have the entire scenario of what we're going through right now, whereas the android guy is Bin Laden. And that's why he has a cough, you know, to show that, because Bin Laden was on the electrolysis. And they have the whole scenario of what we're going through. Well, they set up the Senate gets taken over by the Emperor. H in Tarot, or Kabbalism in the Tarot, H is the Emperor. So it'd be Emperor of the Fallen Angels, HW, right? So HW then orders in Star Wars, the Emperor orders to kill all the Jedi. And when he does so, he says, execute order 66. He says it 3 times to make sure.
Exactly. Every time they go to a different scene to kill, like, Yoda or to kill any of the Jedis, yeah, the stormtroopers have it in their little, or the clones have it in their little,
I can't remember who it was that was going out to kill the Jedi who had the, but he was, you know, executing Order 66. W was killing the Jedi.
Wow, that is absolutely phenomenal.
And if you go to Richard Hoagland's site and you see that Cassini has now found the Death Star surrounding Saturn. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I dig Hoagland's work, too. I have some really interesting work of his on Mars that's out there.
Well, it's linked to my site as well, where you can click right to the Cassini photos of Iapetus, which is a moon going around Saturn. Well, it turns out that he's seen and proven that it's of tetrahedral design, and it's actually identical to George Lucas's Death Star, only ancient and decrepit.
Wow.
It's identical. You got to see it. It's crazy.
I'm going there right after we finish this. Exactly. That's insane. That is absolutely crazy. Now, I did order and I received today, but I have not got to watch it yet. I'm going to do that also as soon as we get done here. And that's a Codex Magica video that you did with Tex Mars. I'm really stoked to see that. I have not got to read that book yet. Another host here on the network, Jonathan Conley, had Tex Mars on 666, and
he's a great guy.
They were pumping that book, and it just sounded amazing. I have some pretty heavy-duty Christians in my family, and I thought that would be the best way to turn them onto this, because I'm so anti-religion, it's hard for them to listen to me with any type of sense, because I go off on them, you know. It's just natural. Jesus isn't real. He did it for the chicks, you know, that kind of thing. But I got in trouble for that here when I was in Georgia. Yeah. Well, I was in Six Flags Over Georgia.
That's as bad as telling a deadhead that Jerry, you know, eats frogs or something.
Yeah, exactly. But I was at Six Flags Over Georgia here a few weeks ago with my younger brother, who is a Christian, but I consider him a true Christian because he'll let me speak whatever I want and doesn't say anything about it. He's like, okay, that's what you believe. Good. You know,
right.
You're still my brother and I love you. So that's what I consider a true Christian.
Texas was wonderful. I love Texas. I like that guy.
Tex is a really smart cat, person. That's for sure. He's got some good stuff out there. But, you know, we're at Six Flags, and of all days to go, I mean, I live in the Northwest, so I haven't been to Six Flags in 20 years. And, anyway, I go there, and of all days to go, it happens to be the Southeast largest Christian rock festival going on. Well, we're walking through. I'm being pretty good at first, but there is just, I mean, it's a sold-out crowd in Six Flags. It's packed, and 90% of them are thumpers, and they all have their different shirts on representing their church.
Right.
And, you know, I kept my mouth shut for about the first 45 minutes in the park, and we walked by where they were having this concert at, and it was like a deal where I think anyone could come up and sing. I don't know what it was, but this... I don't know if you watch South Park at all, but they did an episode a couple years ago where Cartman decided he wanted to make a bet with Kyle that he could make a platinum record, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he ended up breaking into the Christian music industry and, you know, just how cheesy it is, and just to show people he could do it. Well, they didn't have platinum records. They had frankincense and myrrh. But, he had this one song, and it was like, I'll get on my knees for you, Jesus, and all this, and, you know, and he was meaning the other way, you know, not like praising, getting on his knees for him. Well, as I walk by this stage, and this young girl is sitting there singing, and she said exactly that, I'll get on my knees for you, Jesus, and I hit the floor, I did, in front of this group of people laughing, and then it was nonstop after that. Then it was hell on earth for them, because... this one shirt they were wearing, these Southern Baptists, on the front of it it said, having a bad day with a question mark. And I'm like, no, actually I'm having a great day. I'm with my younger brother and enjoying the day and having fun at Six Flags riding roller coasters. And on the back of it said, he had worse, and it shows this picture of Jesus on the cross bleeding like a stuck pig. And that's when I came up with the comment, he did it for the chicks. And I swear, I think they were going to beat me right there, but...
Yeah.
And then he told me straight up, you better be careful because they'll send some Christian gang out to kick your ass. And you have some beat up little hippie in the park. But it was definitely an amazing experience. But I had to explain to my younger brother that he was kind of spooked off over the things I was saying that day, over the course of the day, saying, you are so going to hell, et cetera, et cetera. I said, well, if your big invisible guy in the sky exists, you think we should live on any of these roller coasters? And he came to the fact was there's too many holy rollers on the coasters with me, so I guess the mini spared the few. So, oh well, it was definitely an interesting time in my life, though.
Well, I honestly believe that they're working on programming this scenario into Christian minds, and you know, with books like Left Behind.
Oh, that's something that's never mentioned in the Bible.
A weird article where a guy had some blow up dolls in the back of his pickup truck, and they started blowing out. And this lady thought it was the rapture, and
oh my God,
stepped out of her car and died. And you know, it's this kind of programming that I see them gonna use in the future, with you know, HARP and chemtrails and holographic technology and plague, and they can you know create earthquakes, storms, move the weather, do whatever you know to make us think that these are God coming to get us. So what they've done is they've created America to be a cesspool of perversion. I mean, we really have been trained to perversion with things like South Park, or even, you know, I hate to say it, but hip-hop, or, you know, anything that is American these days, you know, Fear Factor, for God's sake. All of these things, training Americans to be greedy perverts. And so that what we're looking at are globalists. globalists here, and the globalists are conducting, orchestrating this whole scenario, and this way they can refer to America and say, look what happens when you gain freedom. You need us.
Yeah. Well, that, and, you know, I never did understand the fact when I was a kid. I remember back in the 70s, during the hostage crisis in Iran, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like an 8-9-year-old at the time, and, you know, I paid attention to things still, you know, even at that age, but I didn't understand why all these people were so angry with us, and why they would refer to us as the Great Satan, because as a child, like I said, I come from a family of beaters, so, you know, I didn't have a choice but to be beat with it, so, you know, I was believing half-assed the story at that time until about 9-10 years old, and that's when I denounced it, because they couldn't give me straight answers. And,
right.
You know, you gotta have faith. It's that leap you gotta take. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm not taking that with you. So, but they called us, referred to us as the Great Satan. And I never, ever could get that. And then, of course, years later, it was the 90s when I started becoming more aware of my surroundings and what was going on. I was still a bit coming out of my brainwashing from the Grateful Dead, I should say, when I started to become aware. And I was brainwashed with them, by the way, people, big time. I mean, why would you follow any band for 9 years?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, granted, the people were great, it was a fun party, but my God, I went into every show, so,
they're a very rigid cult.
It was definitely some brainwashing involved with that, but, you know what I noticed? Well, like your videos that you show us, like with Goddess Columbia. We are the Great Satan. We are the most occultic country in the world. Well, next to London. Can you think of one that's bigger? I really can't.
No, we are New Atlantis.
There you go. And that is also another awesome video that's out there on the web, people. So if you can hook up with it. I'm not sure who made that. I grabbed that off of Conspiracy Central. But that is a great video, and apparently there's more coming out. It's a series that's going to be coming out. So, from what they said on the video, it was like the first installment.
It's called New Atlantis?
Yeah, it's called The New Atlantis.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I got the book.
If you got high speed, I'll send it over your way tonight if you want. So, because it's
that'd be awesome.
It's definitely a really worthwhile video. It's amazing. I got it on AVI. I think it's like 700 megs, but it's an amazing video. They talk about Fibonacci numerology and all that yumminess, and it's very enlightening. I mean, even for people that are not laymen in these matters, it's very enlightening. And that's one thing I do like about your videos, is because you can take to the layman and say, hey, you know, you don't need to be scared, you just need to be aware. There's no reason to be scared, people. No reason whatsoever. Be aware, live your life, and be happy. Just be aware.
It opens you up, really, because you don't have to deal with all the foo-foo-rah, this, you know, crazy madness that I watch everybody running around in. You know, once you start to see the bigger picture, and then you gain your insight, and this is the magical power they don't want us to have. This is what all the fear really is about, was to train us away from our own divine intuition.
The one thing I liked about the title of one of David Icke's books, you know, because it's so true, the truth shall set you free, and it's a fact, always.
Yes.
I mean, it might scare the hell out of you for a little bit, but you'll get over it, trust me. It's just like 9/11.
I find it so intriguing, honestly. You know, I love doing the research. I love digging into it, and I'm not on a crusade. You know, I just I love the information, and I really want to put together Earth's history, because it's so hidden.
Exactly. It's so hidden, and we've been so manipulated. It's absolutely disgusting, the manipulation has gone through mankind throughout the eons, not hundreds of years, eons. And it's quite disgusting what they have done to us, let alone how they have dumbified us down, especially in the last century.
It's weird, you know, when you know things like you and I know about chemtrails, and we go outside and we see the grid patterns, and we know those weren't there in our childhood, and you mention them to people, and they're like, no, you know, it's always been there. And you're like, how can you think that? They have known it's been there. These are, you know, a new phenomenon. I mean, well, it's almost been 20 years now, but...
I loved watching contrails when I was a kid. I used to watch the jets in the sky all the time. They dissipate in 5-10 minutes max, they're gone. And I'd be like, where'd they go? What causes those? I remember asking a pilot when I was seven, eight years old. His name was Ray Tigert. He was a friend of my family's in the Air Force. He was a pilot. And I remember asking him, what's up with the lines that the planes make? And he just, you know, told me about contrails and, you know, told me what was up. It's just water evaporating because the engines are hot and et cetera, and you're up in the air and it's cold up there and your engines are hot. So it's water dissipating. It's not poison. I thought it was exhaust is what I thought. I thought it was jet exhaust because I'm a little kid. I didn't know. That's why you ask questions. And they lasted 5-10 minutes max. They would disappear. Not anymore, people. Not at all.
Now they spread out and put a chemical haze over the sun. You can see the chemical rainbow around the moon or the sun.
And for any of you that think we're even half-assed full of shit on here, just Google, what is it, Project Cloverleaf?
Yeah.
Go Google.
I really like the Barium Blues.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
The Barium Blues. Wow.
I was going to say, you know, I just flew recently, and I found it interesting because I was checking out the chemtrails, and they were below us. And they were perfect squares from up in the air. When you're flying right over them, they were a perfect grid. And because I've been trying, nobody really knows where they're coming from. You know, nobody's broken that story yet. Nobody, the best guess, of course, is that it's NATO forces, which are the first foreign forces to fly in American skies. And they're, of course, UN forces. And that's why we're not getting it from American military. It's not American military at all. It's NATO.
Yeah. Definitely spooky stuff out there, man. It's outrageous. All right. Well, Freeman, it looks like we're getting low on time here, my friend. And it's been a pleasure having you on. I really hope to have you on again. You're a great cat to talk to. I think Tessarian was so right when he said we had a lot in common. Not only are we free thinkers, long hairs, and, somewhat occultists, but, well, that's what the Christians call me anyway, but it's been a pleasure having you on. Again, you're the freemanperspective.com, and, we can get your videos there, of course, right? And it's $20 for 3 hours.
Yes, the Freeman Perspective is 3 hours long, and the Tex Mars Codex Magica is 2 hours long.
Right, and they're both of those videos are $20 each, and both worthwhile. Like I said, I will plug the Codex Magica next week after I have viewed it tonight, and I very much so look forward to doing that, because if it's half as good as the book is, I'm sure it will be fascinating information.
I'll tell you, I was telling you that I had to battle fourth dimensional entities to get that done. I wondered when one too many satanic symbols in my computer were going to be too much.
Well, sure enough,
I had a major meltdown getting that done. I mean, I was running into the studio 10 minutes before airtime with it finally. I mean, I really had to battle to get that video done.
I found it quite funny because this is the only time it happened to me. It was right after you mentioned that before we went on the air tonight that... You know that these fourth dimensional entities have been messing with you and your computer, and sure as hell, my computer goes just to crap on me. And it wasn't my computer, it was the Sony Acid program I used to create my show with. It just went tits up, and it's never, ever, ever done that. But it works now, and we've got it. So, again,
after
Freeman...
After checking out that Codex Magica, you're going to see things differently. You won't watch Jerry Seinfeld the same ever again.
I can't handle Seinfeld, but I imagine it's going to be extremely interesting. I look forward to it, and I'll plug the hell out of it for you next week, because I'm sure if it's half as good as the book, it's going to be a great viewer for me, let alone to turn on to other people. Again, I appreciate you coming on tonight, Freeman, and please come back again, my friend. I'd love to have you on just to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about.
Absolutely, Thomas. I'd love to do it more.
All right, brother. Well, thanks again. I'll catch you on the flip side, my friend.
All right. Just remember, they want you to do this of your own free will and accord, so follow your heart, follow your intuition, and the hell with what they're programming into us.
Ha ha, hear, hear.
Well, there you have it, folks. Mr. Freeman from the Freeman Perspective. I hope to have him on very soon again for you with some, he does have some fantastic information and some great videos. So stay tuned. I'm going to take a short break and we'll come back and have some very important news for you on what's going on around us and around your world. It is crazy this week, so stay tuned, folks.
Bring more time. Yeah, we say making changes starts in the little things you do. Revolution begins at home, but for most of us it ends at two. We're doing something, we're making changes, like changing the brand of crap we buy. We say it makes a difference, but that's just another lie. Without a common enemy, a real war to fight against, instead of our petty disagreements. How can I rationalize my life during wartime lie? A call to action and a reaction, taking our lives in our own hands, instead of sitting around and talking about the same old shitty bands. But war's going on right now, and I'm not doing anything about it. Without a crowd, I'm not so loud. I can't do anything by myself, but that's just another lie.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revere Radio Network. Remember, Revere Radio Network is listener-sponsored radio. Now, it's not all about the Benjamins. But believe me, that shit helps.
Money. communication. Underground network.
Welcome back to the bunker here on RevereRadioNetwork.com. Now, all of you, I'm sure all of you know already by now, we've been, well, not we, but Israel, which is basically we, because we pay for Israel. I mean, what, it's $5 trillion since their conception that we've given them. That's not a loan, people. That's what we give them. It's hundreds of billions every year. Well, Israeli aircraft attacked central Beirut today. Israeli aircraft have attacked central Beirut for the first time in the four-day offensive, witnesses said today. Now, obviously, I'm concerned that they're captured soldiers who Israel claims to be so worried about that started all this crap might be in the targeted buildings. So I don't get that one, because it's a false flag operation, people. There was no kidnapped soldiers. That's all there is to it. You know, but here we got Joe Lieberman. He suspects that Iran is behind the Hezbollah actions. Well, Joe, you can shut the hell up now, because we already know who you work for, and that's Israel. He does not work for the American people. That's a fact. All right? But also today we have UK warships heading for Lebanon. That's right. The British are heading to Lebanon. Defense Secretary Des Brown has given order for the HMS Illustrious and the HMS Bulwark to make ready for operations off of Lebanon. You know, is someone planning a big bang to really kick off World War III or what? But there is a little bit of, you know, out of all this crap that's going on this week, there is a little bit of comic relief in all this. Vladimir Putin from the Soviet, or from Russia, he jabbed Bush pretty good here a few hours ago. And it, you know what he said? I mean, seriously, this is true. I got the video clip of it too. I'll play it for you just here in a second. But he says, we certainly would not want the same kind of democracy as they have in Iran. And here's the clip from CNN earlier today. Check this out.
Balance. And then on the thorny issue of whether Russia is backsliding on the move toward democracy after Mr. Bush touted the progress towards democracy in Iraq, Mr. Putin offered this dig.
I talked about my desire to promote institutional change in parts of the world, like Iraq, where there's a free press and free religion. And I told him that a lot of people in our country, you know, would hope that Russia would do the same thing. I fully understand, however, that there will be a Russian-style democracy.
We certainly would not want to have the same kind of democracy as they have in Iraq, I will tell you quite honestly.
Just wait.
You heard at the end there, Mr. Bush saying, just wait, that there will be progress in Iraq. A pretty tough jab when you can...
Just wait. And that's your Führer's response. I mean, what a jackass. I mean, seriously, people. I mean, what is this all about? You know, what is the price for your child's life? Now, seriously. Now, how much would you charge me to kill your kid? You know? I'll make up a whole batch of comfortable lies about it, so... You can, you know, just basically assume your guilt when your kid comes home in a cheap box with a cheaper flag draped over it. But come on, let's talk money here. How much? Well, you say no about this? Okay, well, how much would you charge me to let someone else's kid get killed? Better deal, huh? You know, you don't have to know them, and I'll try to make sure you don't have to see them. This is, you know, this is so disgusting. You know, this business of provocation, you know, attack and destruction is all very well and good, but now they expect, you know, they demand that the Bush people support this. This is Israel I'm speaking of. Now, of course, you know, we cannot, because the American public would lynch Bush if he embarked on another much more serious war over there, but the Israelis will not believe his reluctance, so they forced his hand, and
as well as, you know, the various enemy Arab states, and are positive that America will back them. You know, mind you, Bush and Cheney have no problems if Israel were to butcher every living Arab in Palestine, Lebanon, and especially Syria, but we cannot support the resulting war with ground troops. Everyone needs to contact their Congress critters right now and tell them flat out you'll neither fight nor pay for a war for Israel. Nor will you vote for any candidate that supports American kids dying in a war Israel designed. All right, but then again, the U.S. plans a 280 million jet fuel sale to Israel, you know, and watch Israel turn around and ask Congress for more of your money to pay for it, because that's what always happens. It's just, it's so wrong in every way. Israel continues to engage in daily massacres all week so far. You know, these cowardly assaults on civilians that they've been doing for the last 60 years, you know, and then especially here in the last few weeks, but in response to the attacks on legitimate military targets. You know, now, although Israel attempts to instill terror in its neighbors and its occupied population, its gig is up. Israel's lost its ability to terrify. You know, this one cat, Ali Abunma, in a radio interview, that's exactly what he said. He says, it can no longer impose its will by sheer brute force. It worked for 60 plus years, but the genie is out of the bottle now, he maintains, and Israel has reached the end of the road. Well, In a way, I hope he's right, man. I mean, even if it does require World War III for Israel to reach the end of the road, great. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, Israel's, you know, likely to concentrate on major targets in Iran is what they're saying. Israeli Brigadier General Michael Herzog, a visiting fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, said Israel would take into account retaliatorial threats to American targets when deciding whether to strike Iran's nuclear facilities. Well, that's so comforting to know. You know, and whose kids are going to get caught up in this crossfire when Israel bombs Iran? You know, it'll be our kids in Iraq. And of course, the U.S. has pledged to defend Israel no matter what. And, you know, if only Americans will wake up, you know, are they only going to wake up when the draft is reinstituted here? I mean, seriously, what is the deal? What's going on? I don't get it. I swear, this world's gone mad. But I'm going to take a short break from this mad world and I'll be right back with you.
Revere Radio Network, Tampa. The worldwide home of free speech.
Asking for help, it's only because being with you has opened my eyes. Could I ever believe such a perfect surprise? I keep asking myself, wondering how. I keep closing my eyes, but I can't look you out. Wanna fly to a place where it's just you and me. Nobody else, so we can be free.
She's feeling for me. I can try to forget, but it's driving me mad. Going out of my head.
welcome back to the bunker. Israel, of course, was what my topic is today because, wow, what a topic. I mean, that's all that's in the news right now. But they say Lebanon has potential to attack on Tel Aviv. Well, maybe, you know. On the other hand, personally, I think Israel is in dire need of a propaganda tool to regain world sympathy. So expect Israel to stage an attack against itself, possibly even using a small nuclear weapon to be blamed on Iran. Wouldn't surprise me one bit, you know. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And they also say they're likely to concentrate on major targets in Iran, you know. You know, okay, it's history lesson time. Remember when Germany left the Sudetenland in 1806, then reinvaded in 1938, and the rest of the world stood by and did nothing? Well, then Germany, they started, you know, pouring into Poland and Austria and Hungary, France, etc. You know, Israel's repeating the same pattern. Israel started with Gaza, first pulling out, then reinvading on a flimsy pretext. Now Israel's invading Lebanon, reportedly already attacking targets inside Syria and openly targeting of targets inside Iran. Now, Israel has been bribing the U.S. Congress to send your kids off to die in wars Israel wanted. You know, evidence clearly proves that much of the disinformation that tricked this nation into war in Iraq also came from Israel. Now, I know many of you have not wanted to believe this was happening, but you can't pretend any longer. The U.S. government has created a new monster on the globe which will set the world on fire in service to their religious mythology that God chose them to rule all over all others, you know? And it's happening right now in front of your face. Now, Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, said support for Israel will end in a Holocaust. He said Friday that U.S. backing of Israel is responsible for flaming tensions in the Middle East and putting the world on course toward another Holocaust. The Israelis have their weapons of mass destruction and nobody criticizes them. You know, nobody says nothing because the empire is behind them, Chavez said. And he couldn't have been more right on that. But personally, I think this is going to be a big war. The Israeli justification for bombing the airport in Beirut and pushing into southern Lebanon is that two of their soldiers were captured. You know, this is classic newspeak. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said of the incident, "It's an act of war by the state of Lebanon, conveniently omitting the bombings of the occupied territories, including civilians on a beach by Israeli forces over the last weeks." Or the fact the two Israeli soldiers were on the Lebanese side of the border when captured. You know, it just makes absolutely no sense. But, of course, we got Israel now. They're giving Syria an ultimatum. You know, a London-based Arabic language newspaper, Al Hayat, said Israel gave Syria 72 hours to stop Hezbollah's activity, bring about release of kidnapped IDF troops. What? You know, I'm sorry, there's their excuse for World War III right there. Then, of course, we have the good old U.S. Senate, and they voted for millions more for Jewish groups in this country. Now, listen to this. More than half of the $25 million set aside in 2005, the first year funds were allocated to nonprofit organizations. Now, they went to Jewish organizations mostly for security measures, including barriers and gate systems, while the victims of Katrina are still waiting for assistance, you know. And, wow, amazing, you know. But don't let the media fool you, folks. Israel started this crap, all right? That's all there is to it. Ever since the bloody carnage in Lebanon started, the mainstream media has echoed Israel's self-righteous indignation about how they're merely defending themselves, you know? Israel's sovereignty was violated when Hezbollah kidnapped their soldiers from across the border, you know? What they're conveniently not saying is Hezbollah confronted Israeli troops on the Lebanese side of the border. You know, to my mind, Israel's no different than a terrorist organization, no better than Hezbollah, no better than Al-Qaeda. You know, years from now, the kidnapping of this Corporal Gilad Shalit will be regarded like the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand against the, you know, backdrop of the Qassam rocket fire on the Israelis living within range of the Gaza Strip. You know, it was the fate of Corporal Shalit that triggered the Israeli return to Gaza, which in turn brought the Hezbollah forces into this game. It's absolutely outrageous. You know, can Israel engage in
you know, taking innocent human life and not expect retaliation? You know, the Jewish state seems to think so. You know, Westerns are bombarded with phrases like grievous provocation and unprovoked attacks of terrorism, but amazingly, Israel is seen as immune from being capable of such actions. So, it's absolutely disgusting, folks. I'm going to take a short little break and I'll return and close up this show for you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to From the Bunker on Revere Radio Network, and I'll catch you on the flip side of this.
The president released a statement today. One of our greatest freedoms is the freedom from fear. And he pledged to protect that freedom.
Now favor some kind of military.
Fearing terrorist reprisals, federal officials raised the national alert to war.
Out there, with all this stuff going on, you have got to be.
The Senate Intelligence Committee today authorized a special panel to investigate the current situation in New York City.
We're at war. We're absolutely at war. This is 21st century war.
They know who's behind all this. They know what country is supporting all these people. They give them money. They give them weapons. They give them assets.
The president says the task has shifted from the diplomats to the generals.
The objectives of others conflict with our objectives. Your father believed his country should look to another form of government, and he took control of that belief. So, we view him as an extraordinary man, and we believe, we know, that it runs in the family.
Shall rise from the eternal sea, meaning the world of politics. So the devil's child will rise in the world of politics.
Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Get your hands out my grandma's pockets. We need healthcare more than going to war. You think it's the market?
right, welcome back to the bunker. I'm still your host, Dire Wolf. And, well, I'm not going to go off on Israel anymore. I'm not going to go off on world news anymore. In fact, I'm going to plug Rob's show from last night. If any of you missed the show last night, he had a great host on. Rex Curry was the cat's name. He's a lawyer in Florida. And they did it on the Pledge of Allegiance. I found it to be really interesting material. So if you didn't catch that show, do go to revereradionetwork.com and go to the archives to Rob Revere's show and check out last night's show. It's some really interesting information, especially if you have children. Check it out. I mean, seriously, it's something you should know about. And also, for people out there with kids, I understand the topics we cover out here are spooky, you know, but it's time to pull your head out of the sand. It truly is. When you can face reality and face the truth will always set you free. Yeah, it's scary. What isn't scary? The boogeyman does exist. What can I tell you? It's just a fact. It's the way the world works. It's the way it rolls. But what can we do about it? Well, we can free our minds. We can think for ourselves. You know, that scares the shit out of the government when you think for yourself. It does. It scares them shitless. That's the last thing they want you to do, is to think for yourself. They want Fox News to think for you. They want CNN to think for you. They want the New York Times to think for you. You know, we are being set up here for a major fall, people. And it might be too late. I don't know. I personally don't think it is. I think if enough of us pull our heads out of our asses and take a big, deep breath of truth, I think we'll be all right. I really do, because I think the truth is so much more powerful than their evil. No matter what kind of juju they pull on us, I truly am a firm believer that the truth will set us free on this. I'm absolutely 100% positive on this. And if I'm wrong, well, then I guess we're all going to die. But I don't think so. I really don't. I think we can defeat this monster and cut off the head of the serpent, as it would be put. But again, you've been listening to Revere Radio Network, and this is listener-sponsored radio. So if you have $5, $10, $15, $100, do donate. You can always go to revereradionetwork.com and donate if you like listening to broadcasts like this one you have just listened to. It is listener-sponsored, and you pay our bills. We don't get paid. All of us do this voluntarily. So it would be cool if we got paid. I'd do this daily if I got paid. But it's definitely something you should do if you do enjoy the network. You should donate. If you don't have the money, I totally understand. Most of us are broke as hell. But there's a few of us that listen out here that do have $15, $20. And I know there's some... a host and a couple listeners that have donated this month, Bernice and Luke, and I know there's a couple others that I'm not mentioning that I'm forgetting. I don't have the list up in front of me, but I thank you very much for your donations this month. I know Rob needs it. I'd like to thank Rob Revere for letting me do this program and letting me speak my mind and tell you my version of the truth. And that's all this is, folks. It's my version, my view, and no one else's. I mean, people might agree with it or might disagree with it. I personally don't give a shit either way. This is what I think, and that's what matters in this world to me, is what I think. I try to do good unto others, and I hope they do good back to me, but I'll tell you one thing. There is no government that's doing any good for me right now, and I personally don't think they're doing very good for you. So with that, I'm going to call it quits, and I will catch everybody next week, same time, same bat channel. And next we have a 9-hour block of Revolution Radio coming at you from our friends at NWOWatcher.com. And so it's a 9-hour block, like I said. It's definitely some entertaining radio. Those cats do a great job on that as well. This next song goes out to my friend Hannah and all the others that I scared the shit out of today. So everybody have a great weekend, and take care of yourselves and be good to others. Peace. About
And this guy's always had little fluffy clouds, and they were long and clear, and there were lots of stars at night. And when it would rain, it would all turn. They were beautiful, the most beautiful skies, as a matter of fact. The sunsets were purple, red, and yellow. On fire, the clouds out. You don't see that. The sunsets were purple and red and yellow and on fire, and the clouds would catch the colors everywhere. I used to look at them all the time. You don't see that.
Clouds would catch the colors everywhere. You don't see that.